Step five in terms of achieving any success you want in life is affirm and visualize your success. And what that means is you have to create an affirmation and a visualization for each goal that you have. And the goal can be material, like I want to have that 4,000 square foot house on Pacific Coast Highway, or it can be I want to have a healthy body. It can be an emotional goal, like I want to be more patient when I'm around my children, or I want to be more assertive around authority figures. Whatever the goal is, what you do is you visualize yourself as if you've already achieved the goal. And you state the goal as an affirmation, as if it's already been achieved. In terms of self-esteem, the most interesting part of the brain is called the reticular activating system, and some scientists just call it the reticular system. It's located right at the base of the brain, right above the spine. And everything that streams in from the eyes, from the ears, from the nerves that come up the spine into the brain, all get filtered through that system. And it decides what gets into your conscious awareness, because there's just too much to be paying attention to at any one time. So some messages get through into the brain and some don't. And so right now, there are 8 million bits of information streaming in through my eyes and my nose and my nerve cells into my brain. And my brain can't concentrate on all that at once. So the reticular system decides what's allowed into consciousness. For example, as you're listening to this right now, you're probably not aware of what's going on in your left foot. But as soon as I say that, you're aware of what you're feeling in your left foot, because that information was streaming up into the brain, but your reticular system was saying, no, that's not important. Let's listen to this guy's voice, or let's watch where we're driving the car or whatever. And so the question then becomes, how do I program my reticular system so it will let in the things that will enhance my self-esteem, and so that it will let in the things that will help me achieve my goals, so it will let in creative ideas that I can use and not filter those out? We want to make sure our reticular system lets in the right stuff that's going to achieve what we want. Now, how do we program the reticular system? The reticular system is programmed by our beliefs about ourselves, our self-image, and our goals and our needs. So if I have a self-image that says, I'm not likable, and then someone says to me, hey, I really like you, internally I'll go, gee, what, are they trying to sell me something? You know, they must be trying to get something from me. I don't trust them. And then I forget what they said because it doesn't stick. It doesn't get in. In fact, at a party, you can hear people talking about you, and certain things you'll remember and certain things you won't. You'll remember the things that match your self-image, and you won't remember the things that don't. So what I want to do is start setting high goals, start changing my belief system about myself through the use of affirmations, start affirming how I'd like to believe about myself, and start visualizing having my goals and visualizing being the way I want to be. And then what happens is my reticular system is reprogrammed, and I start getting creative ideas from my unconscious. I start seeing things in my environment that can assist me in achieving my goals, and I start noticing things like phone calls and letters that I get and what people say that in fact reinforce my new self-image. So it literally is how we program our awareness. One of the things we've learned is that you have inside you what might be similar to an automatic pilot in a plane or a boat. And if I had a boat here and I had the automatic pilot set for north, but there was a wheel back here and I turn that wheel real hard and I hold it and I go east for a while, but if I let go of that wheel, what's going to happen to the boat? That's right, it will go back north again because the automatic pilot was never changed. So we find that a lot of people in life will achieve goals like losing weight or achieving a certain financial status or, you know, making so many sales calls a day and getting a certain income. But what happens as soon as they stop that real effortful, nose to the grindstone kind of approach, they go back. They gain the weight again. Their relationships don't work anymore. They stop selling as much. And it requires that discipline, discipline, discipline. And what I want to do is share with you a less stressful way to achieve any goal. And it's by using affirmations and visualization. We're going to literally reprogram the automatic pilot. And that's why we use this tool. Let me first just give you the guidelines for an affirmation. An affirmation is a positive statement that describes the goal as if it's already achieved. And there are 8 guidelines. The first guideline says that it starts with the words I am. I am. Always starts with I am. We find that the words I am are the 2 most powerful words in the English language. Whatever you put after the words I am, your unconscious takes as a command. So if you say, I'm sick and tired of that, guess what you're going to start producing in your life? Being sick and tired. If you say, I am the kind of person that nobody likes, then you're going to end up with nobody liking you. So for an affirmation, it's going to be positive, starting with I am. The second guideline is that it be positive. You never want to have an affirmation that says, I'm no longer afraid of snakes. Okay? You want to say, I am happily and easily handling snakes. You don't want one that says, I'm no longer afraid of making sales calls. You want to have one that says, I am easily and happily making sales calls. So you state it in the positive tense. Let me show you why that's so important. Close your eyes for just a minute, again, unless you're driving a car. And what I want you to do is when I say these sentences, notice what images come up in your mind. The first sentence is this. The dog is not chasing the cat. Here's the second sentence. I am not thinking about elephants. Okay, open your eyes. Now, how many of you, even for a second, saw a dog chasing a cat, even if it was for a little microsecond, over half the people in the room? How many of you saw an elephant? Almost everybody. Okay. The purpose of an affirmation is to evoke a picture, because it's the picture that has more power than the words. The picture has more power than the words. Earlier today, we did the skyscraper thing, where I asked you to imagine walking to the edge of a skyscraper and looking down. Now, your mind cognitively knew you were in a safe place, but your body responded as if it were actually on a skyscraper. So the image is more powerful than the thought. So when we make an affirmation, always in the positive tense, or you will bring up the picture of the negative, which you don't want. Third guideline, it must be stated in the present tense. Present tense. I am happily standing on the balcony of my apartment in Kanapali Bay watching the sunset in Maui. See, that says I'm in Maui, present tense right now. Now, the problem is, where am I really? Chicago, Illinois. So my mind hears this and it goes, wait a second, you're not in Hawaii, you're in Chicago. That creates what we call structural tension in the brain. And I'll explain why that's important in just a minute. So I don't want to say, someday I'm going to own a condominium in Hawaii, because I'll always be in a process of going to. If I say I'm going to L.A. and I affirm I'm going to own or I'm going to L.A., then what happens, I'm always going to be on some road on my way to Los Angeles and never there. Exactly. The next guideline says brief. Brief. Short. As few words as possible. Pretend every word in your affirmation costs $10,000. Any word you don't need, get rid of it. Sometimes what I do is I ask a person to stand up and I take a sheet of paper and I hold it between my hands and I ask them to put their hand out, all five fingers in the palm of their hand, on that piece of paper. Then I ask them to push on the piece of paper and invariably the paper doesn't break. I can take a whole body weight of a large person and the paper will support it. And then I ask them to put one finger out and put it into the paper and then lean, and with hardly any effort the paper splits apart. Because all of a sudden, all of that weight is focused on one little half square inch. And the point again is when you have a few goals that you're committed to, and when your affirmation's brief, that focuses your energy. And if you've got a long affirmation like, I am proudly standing on the terrace of this place on Pacific Coast Highway somewhere in the world doing blah, 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 the mind falls asleep. Okay? But if it's short and punchy, the mind remembers it. Okay, the next guideline, number five, is specific. We already talked about that in terms of the guy who wanted to have a foreign car dealership in a metropolitan area. So be specific about what you want. What year, what color, what brand, what kind, is it stick shift or not? In other words, be specific. Number six says, ING word, an action word that ends in ING. I am driving my car. I am expressing my love. I am acting calmly. See, if it's an active verb, then it propels you with more energy. Number seven is, it needs to include a feeling word. I am happily driving my car. I am proudly showing off my new home. I am peacefully interacting with my children. Now, why do we want a feeling word in there? The reason you do anything is because how you think it's going to make you feel when you've done it. The reason I want to own a pool table is not because there's something intrinsic about pool, but because I know I enjoy myself when I'm playing it. The reason I want my children to grow up healthy and happy is I have a feeling I'll feel a certain way rather than if they grow up and they're into drugs and they get into trouble. So any goal is because I think it's going to make me feel a certain way. All right? Now, in order to be motivated, I need to have that feeling in the affirmation because it's the feeling I want. That's what provides the fuel. It's the desire level of the affirmation. Number 8, and the last one, says it must be personal. And what we mean by that is do not try to change other people's behavior with your affirmation. Don't say, I'm happily married to Robert Redford, because it would require Robert Redford to change his life. But you could say, I'm happily married to a blonde, blue-eyed guy who lives in Colorado and raises horses, because there's probably a bunch of those guys around, and you could find one of them. What I like to do with those kind of affirmations is at the end add the words, or something better. Because you may think you like blondes, but you may meet a brunette who really turns you on. Okay? If you're in business, you don't state it so that someone else has to change. I mean, obviously any goal is going to require other people to participate. Don't have an affirmation that says, I'm happily watching my son clean up his room. You can have an affirmation that says, I'm happily looking at my son's room clean. But how you get there may be that you may clean it, you may hire somebody, you may do it together. So do the outcome that you want. Now, what do you do with these affirmations once you have one? Okay, so you've got a goal. You now state it as an affirmation. And what you're going to do is for each goal and each affirmation, what I recommend is write it down on a 3x5 card, a separate 3x5 card. And then in the morning, when you first get up, look through your cards one at a time, read the affirmation, close your eyes, and visualize yourself as having already achieved the goal that the affirmation represents. People often ask, how many goals or how many affirmations should I have? I say usually between 8 and 15 are plenty. Have them to balance out your life, emotional, financial, physical, relational, etc. But if you get too many more than that, you're likely to spread yourself too thin. Then the question comes, how long should I do this? And the answer is, until the goal shows up. Okay? When you've got the goal, create some new goals. The way it works is when you close your eyes and you're visualizing the goal as if it's already achieved, there are three things that are really useful. One is, see it in moving color like a movie. Secondly, hear the sounds you would hear if you were there, especially people congratulating you for having achieved your goal. And thirdly, feel the feelings in your body right now that you would feel as if you had already achieved it. And one of the neat things that happens is every day you're closing your eyes and you're creating that feeling you'd already feel. It's almost as if even if you never get to the goal, it doesn't matter because you feel it inside already. So you can create the feeling of success inside of you. And what we find is when you become the kind of person you want to become, but just act as if, do it now, hold the feeling, that you start attracting to you the kind of people that will support you in terms of being where you want to be. So auditory, visual, and feeling. Let me share an example of someone that used this technique. I had a workshop a couple of years ago, and a woman wrote me a letter about, oh, I don't know, 6-7 months later. And it goes like this. It says, Dear Jack, when I went to your self-esteem seminar, I had never heard of affirmations before. During the portion of the seminar, our assignment was to write out 10 affirmations and transfer them to 3x5 cards when we got home. I only wrote out 9 affirmations at the seminar about relationships, communicating with my kids, improving my work situation, expanding my spirituality. After the seminar, I sat down at home to write out my 10 cards. I couldn't think of something to write on the 10th card. So almost offhandedly, I wrote, I am deliriously enjoying my cruise to, and then she said, I paused, stopped for a minute. What should I write? And then I filled in the words, the Caribbean. Even at the time, I wondered why I wrote that. I'd never had any plan to go to the Caribbean, no long-time, all-consuming desire as the place to go, but I thought, it's the last card, it fits into space, it'd be nice to go there. I had attended the seminar in April. Since that time, I looked at my 10 affirmations every day, and I began to see results in my relationships, communicating with my children, my work situations, and my spiritual life. One day, late in August, I got a telephone call from a friend of mine. She said she had a gift for me. She wanted to send me on a cruise. That's right, you guessed it, to the Caribbean. For about 10 seconds, my critical self inside of me told me I shouldn't accept the gift. It wouldn't be right. But only for 10 seconds. And then I told that critical self to get lost. And I said thank you to my friend, and I accepted the gift. I went on the cruise in October, and I had a wonderful time. It was the first real vacation I had ever been on where I didn't have to cook, camp, visit relatives, chase the kids, or entertain guests. It was just for me, and it was absolutely marvelous. I met some fabulous people, and I had the most fantastic and memorable time of my life. Needless to say, I know that affirmations work in changing my mindset, my perceptions, and in creating a different reality. Going on a cruise may seem like a materialistic example, but I've seen equally astonishing results in other areas of my life, and I can assure you that I continue to write new affirmations into my life on a regular basis. So I know these work. They've worked in my life, and they've worked in the lives of people that I've shared them with. See, visualization is working in your life right now. Remember earlier we talked about fear, and fear being a result of seeing things in the future that are scary, like being late for the doctor's appointment? Well, fear, the way we spelled F-E-A-R, is fantasized experiences appearing real. And your mind, as I said, can't tell the difference. So if it sees a real event as a negative event, what you're really doing is negative goal setting. You'll start to produce that in your life. Or you can use that same power to produce the positive, and it'll produce that. Remember, it was Mark Twain, he said, "I've lived a long life and had many troubles, most of which never happened." Yeah, because we think about them. So we want to take that same power and use it to our advantage. A lot of times when people first learn about affirmations, they think that if they say something like, "I'm thin," and the fact is they're really fat, or if they say, "I'm looking at the scale and reading 122 pounds when they're weighing 145, they're lying. And in a sense, they are. They are lying. But it's a lie that's done with the intention of producing a positive result. See, because when I say one thing and it's not what the current reality is, that creates a positive tension in my brain. And the brain goes, "Wait a second, that's not right." And so that positive, that structural tension that gets created in the brain begins to move me. Now there's two directions I can move. I can move towards saying, "Well, wait a second, I'm really 145. Whew, now I feel better again." Or I could say, "No, I'm going to keep holding this belief that I'm 120 pounds. I'm going to keep saying that. I'm going to keep affirming that." And if I do that enough, that structural tension builds up enough, then it starts to say, "Well, he's really serious about this 120-pound thing," or, you know, "She's really serious about it. And so we're going to have to do whatever it takes to produce that result." And so that tension builds up in the brain. We call it motivation sets in, and then I start to do the things that 120-pound people do. I eat more vegetables and rice and less fattening foods and less desserts and less sugar and so forth, and I start exercising more, and I start, you know, watching my calorie count, and pretty soon I end up at 120 pounds. So that it is a lie, but it's a lie done with the intention of producing a positive result for yourself. The same principle applies to anything about yourself that you believe. Let's say you believe you're not lovable. Let's say you believe no one will ever like you. Let's say you believe you're stupid, which is a big one that a lot of people have. And then you're going, "Well, I'm smart." Or you might have an affirmation, "I am enjoying people enjoying me." And so what happens is some party goes, "Yeah, right. Yeah, sure." In fact, I say to people, if you're really working with affirmations at a deep level and they don't make you real uncomfortable every time you say them, you're probably not working with the right affirmation. An affirmation that's right on is really going to, at first, make you feel uncomfortable. You might feel shaky. Sometimes people feel dizzy. Their palms start to sweat because you're basically challenging your whole core belief about who you are. Structural tension. It's what we used to call cognitive dissonance in psychology. Now, the value of structural tension is this. If you hold the structural tension long enough, what it will do is it will start to change three things in your mind. It will start giving you creative ideas that you never had before. It will start allowing your mind to perceive things that have always been in your environment that you never saw before that can be resources for you achieving your goal. And thirdly, it will provide motivation to take action. So it'll provide perceptual shift, motivation to take action, and creative ideas. At Ohio State University one year, they took a bunch of kids who were really good at basketball and they divided them into two groups. And they said, "Okay, here's what we want you to do. One group is going to shoot foul shots every day for half an hour. The other group is going to close their eyes and imagine shooting foul shots and all the balls going in. The third group is not going to do anything." About a month later or 2 weeks later, they tested the kids, and what they found out was the group that had shot foul shots every day had improved by 24%. The group that visualized shooting foul shots but never actually practiced had improved 23%. The group that had not practiced and not visualized had no improvement. So the group that visualized improved 1% less than the kids who were out there practicing every day, because that structural tension and that idea of syncing every shot in their head started wiring up the neuromuscular system to be able to do that. Because again, the body couldn't tell the difference between a real event and an imagined event. And so we use that principle to create that structural tension. Let me share with you a couple quotes from some famous athletes who use visualization. Jack Nicklaus, the great golfer, said, "I never hit a shot, not even in practice, without having a very sharp, in-focus picture of it in my mind." Lee Evans, a 1968 Olympic gold medalist in the 400 meters, said, "I visualized every step of the 400-meter race until I saw every stride I would take." Pro quarterback Fran Tarkenton used to rehearse every upcoming game in his mind. Now, how do you use it in your life? Probably the best example is one out of my own life. 1978, I decided I wanted to make $100,000. Now, up to that point in my life, I'd never made more than $18,000 a year. I'd been a teacher, a consultant, and a psychologist, and $18,000 a year. Just seemed to be locked into what we call a comfort zone. What happened was, I set a goal for $100,000, and I was going to use affirmations and visualization. And my affirmation, I had two affirmations. One was, I am easily and happily earning and investing $100,000 a year for my pleasure and the upliftment of others. My second affirmation was, large sums of money come to me quickly and easily under grace for the highest good of all concerned. Okay? Very simple. Now, that was kind of a spiritual one. The other was a little more materialistic, but it was toward the same goal. Secondly, I cut out a piece of green construction paper, and I cut it in the shape of a dollar bill, except it was very big, and on it, I drew a $100,000 bill. Now, there is no such thing as a $100,000 bill, but I drew one as if it were, and I spent about 3 hours drawing it, looking at a dollar bill and thinking what it would look like and drawing it. And I put this above my ceiling, so the first thing I'd wake up every morning, what would I see? $100,000 bill. Now, I got this technique from Bruce Jenner. Remember Bruce Jenner, the decathlon champion that won over there in Germany and got the highest point level? I think it was a record that held for a long time, may even still hold, I don't know. He used to, every morning when he wake up, on the ceiling were 10 pictures of him winning each of the events in the decathlon. So every morning I'd look up, I'd see a $100,000 bill, and I'd say my affirmation, and I'd close my eyes, and I'd visualize what it would look like to have $100,000. How would I dress? Where would I live? What would I do? Then I would get up, and I would just live my day. I'd do what I do, go where I go, hang out, etc. What I experienced was that nothing much happened for about 6 weeks, and then all of a sudden, miracles started to show up. I'd wake up one morning and I'd have an idea. Wow, all I have to do is sell 400,000 copies of my book. See, it never occurred to me that I should sell my book. That was my publisher's job. But I get a quarter every time my book is sold. So 400,000 quarters is $100,000. So my creative mind was starting to work, right? Next thing I know, I'm in my grandmother's bathroom. Now, how many of you have been in your grandmother's bathroom? I see a show of hands. What magazine will you find in almost every grandmother's bathroom? Reader's Digest. Reader's Digest, that's right. I look down, and here's this magazine I've seen a million times. It's always been background. All of a sudden, now I've got this goal. It pops out, see? My perception changes. I say, wow, it says on Reader's Digest, 8 million readers in 17 languages. Far out. All I got to do is take out an ad in a Reader's Digest. 8 million people will see it. 400,000 people will buy my book. I got my goal. So I call up Pleasantville, New York, where the Reader's Digest is headquartered, and I say, I'd like to take out a one-page ad. And I said, how much does it cost? And they said, $108,000. Now, I was curious, since this happened so long ago, I actually called them last week to find out what a one-page ad was going for now. It's $121,000 for one-page ad. Now, it is a bargain at one level. To reach 8 million people, think about what the cost per person is. But I said, look, I can't do it. They said, why not? I said, I don't have $108,000. And secondly, even if I do it, I lose $8,000 in the deal. See, because my goal was 100. And so I hung up, and a couple days later, I wake up, new creative idea. write an article for the Reader's Digest. In fact, they may even pay you for that. This is good news. So I wrote an article, spent a whole week writing an article about how to raise teenagers with high self-esteem. Sent it off to the Reader's Digest. 2 weeks later, it came back. Sorry, we're not interested. Now, a couple weeks later, I'm at the checkout counter of the supermarket. Guess what I saw? That's right. National Enquirer said 12 million readers weekly. I said, this is better than the Reader's Digest. Reached 4 million more people, and they do it every week. So I called them up. I said, what are your ads? With $7.50 a word for classified, there's about 8 pages of classified ads, I figured to get lost. Just didn't feel right. The full page and half page ads were equally as expensive as the Reader's Digest, and I thought, this isn't going to work for me. But then I kept thinking, Reader's Digest, National Enquirer. I started visualizing myself in those magazines. A couple weeks later, I'm at Hunter College in New York, giving a speech to 800 people, and this lady comes up at the end and she says, Mr. Canfield, great talk, loved it, like to interview you. I said, perfect. I said, who do you write for? She said, I'm mainly a freelancer, but mostly I write for the National Enquirer. I said, very good. What took you so long? She looked at me like I was crazy. But it kept happening like that. I kept having ideas, another idea, another idea, another idea. And then what happened for me, at that time I was getting $300 a day as a consultant, going out and working with schools and corporations and mental health services. And I met a friend of mine named Dr. Hanuk McCarty at a conference. Again, it was here in Chicago. And I asked him, I said, what do you get when you consult with schools? And he said, I get $800 a day. And I said, my God, how do you get $800 a day? You know what he said? That's right. He said, I asked for it. And I said, you asked for it? Boy. So I went home and I was thinking, am I worth $800 a day? See, again, a self-esteem issue, right? What am I worth? Well, who establishes that? I do, right? So I said, I'm going to ask for $800. So I practiced in the mirror. Do you ever do that? You look in the mirror and you practice what you're going to say. $800, and I'd stick my chin out. What's your fee? $800, and I practice it. So finally, this guy calls me from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and he says, we'd like you to come out and do a one-day workshop for the Cedar Rapids Mental Health Consortium. We'll have all kinds of people, psychologists, psychiatrists. We'll have people from the business community, parents. It'd be really great. What's your fee? And I went, my fee is $600. I chickened out by $200. He said, no sweat. And I said, no sweat. I said, I'll do it, Ray, for $600, but what did you have in the budget? He says, Jack, we had $1,200 budgeted for the speaker. And I said, my God, how many times have I, like, denied myself that? See, but the point I want to make is, I never would have asked my friend Hanuk McCarty what he was getting, because my mother, like most of your mothers, said you never ask people what they make, right? That's rude, right? But my reticular activating system in my brain, see, was now filtering in things that would assist me to get my goal. So I asked, and I got some information, and although I didn't make $800 or $1,200, I made $600, which was twice as much as I was making before. Next guy called me, says, we'd like to have you come speak to our corporation. What's your fee? I said, $1,200. He said, we don't have $1,200. We have $700. I said, well, for you, I'll do it. Right? It was $400 more than I'd been getting. Now, Hanuk and I have had this running battle going on. Every time I raise my fee, he raises his fee. I think the most either of us has ever gotten is $4,500 for a one-hour talk. See? But that's because I started changing my self-perception, asking, because what's the worst they can say?
No.
No. See? So little by little, all of these things are starting to occur. My perception's changing. I'm asking more for what I want. I'm getting creative ideas. By the end of the first 3 months of the year, I had tripled my income. Tripled my income. I had gone from $18,000 a year in the first 3 or 4 months. I had made over $60,000. I started a mail order bookstore and started selling my book. Took out ads and journals, buy Canfield's book. My book was called 100 Ways to Enhance Self-Concept in the Classroom, a guide for parents and teachers. I also realized that as people were buying my book, they might buy other books like that. So I started selling other people's books. Then I started doing bookstores at conferences. And then I started, you know, raising my fee, and I had new workshop titles. Well, I didn't make $100,000 that year. I made somewhere in the low 90s. Do you think I was really disappointed? No, I mean, I made almost 5 times more than I'd ever made in my life. So you can see how that works once you set a goal and you affirm it and you visualize it.